felt really strongly in the worship. And I should say, my name's Hilary McNutt. If you don't know me, it's lovely to meet you. I'm basically like visiting family now. That's how I feel, which is really nice. I was thinking about that today. I was thinking, I hope I'm the kind of family that brings wine and chocolate. Metaphorically, of course.
Oh.
I know, the kind that you get good banter with, you know? But in the worship, I was taken back to this chapter, and the whole thing about this chapter is it's a lot about freedom, about redefining freedom. And just there, I felt the Lord saying, this church needs to grow from a place of freedom. Mm-hmm. And so, because I was sort of saying, well, okay, what's the thing of doing this now, this fruit of the Spirit now? And it's partly because, give me a little show of hands if you've been in the church a long time. And I have not had this thought prior to coming in for worship. Some of you might even be raised in the church. There's a lot we sing about the freedom. Jesus has done it all. We don't have to do anything. All we have to do is believe, learn to love. But he's done it all. But I've had many a teaching that has told me things I need to do. Mm. And I know that that's probably not what the preacher meant. But I definitely have heard that. And I speak to other Christians who are beating themselves up about what they aren't doing. And so it makes sense to me now that he's doing this with you now, because I think that in order to go forward, there's a level of freedom.
Yep.
That he wants to take you to.
Yep.
So as a church growing in this community, you offer genuine freedom, God's freedom, through just being who you are, which is what the fruit is all about, isn't it? So we're in Galatians. Do go there. I'm going to go to a few scriptures, so whip your phones out, get your Bible apps on. I'm expecting some Bible whipping about going on. Thank you. Can you even get out your paper copy? Yes, you can.
That's a novel.
And that will be absolutely fine too. I'm not going to read the whole section again because we're on week four. And this is a very interesting list in the Bible, isn't it? It's a list we come back to again and again and again. And I've only been a Christian for like 26 years, and I've heard at least 20 sermons on the fruit of the Spirit. And I think it's because this is a very important reference point for us as Christians. It's like a checkup, isn't it? We have a little look, we go back. And so don't close off, because I've definitely discovered some things about patience and actually even about the list itself that I didn't know before, and it's helped me to understand more. Galatians 6:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience or forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, and there's no law against any of these things. Mel said in week one, this is like one fruit, but there's many facets to it. And then David through Chris, because Chris was like, David's told me to say this. I found that quite interesting. David told me to say this, to make this clear. This is the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruits of the Spirit. I want to take that a little bit deeper. You don't have to agree with me. It's just to stir up your thinking brains, because that's a good thing, isn't it? I want to say that the first word in this list is not the first word, incidentally. The first word in this list, I believe, is actually the fruit of the Spirit. And that the rest of the list breaks down what that love is. It's a possibility. And there's a couple of other lists that I'm going to go through that maybe confirm that a bit. And you think, well, Hilary, why is that important? And I think it's important because God wants us to really understand what the love of God looks like when it comes through us. He wants us to be able to look back and say, oh, a year ago, I would not have been so kind to that person. That would have triggered this in me, and I would probably have been a bit mean or offended or human. But I can see I'm making progress. The love of God is coming through me because in that circumstance, I was kinder than I have been in the past. So, I don't think it's any coincidence that love is the first one. After I'd had this little thought to myself, I had a dig around at some other translations just to see if anyone else had ever thought the same thing. I found a couple, but I think the Passion Translation probably puts it best. He says, "But the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions." And then he lists them. And I think that's just interesting. It just makes us think a bit more. See, the context that something's put in is really key when we read the Bible, but so's the construction of the wording. And if you only ever read one translation, you're going to be limited to how that translator thought about how he would translate construction of that sentence. So as I seem to have done every time I come here, I implore you, dig a bit deeper, read a bit wider, have a look a bit further. What is the construction of this sentence might be relevant? Here's my boring grammar moment for you. I lift this up. Never start me timer. Disaster. Right. Okay, come with me to 2 Peter. I'm in chapter 1 and verse 5. And here's another list for us. It kind of describes the journey of fruit growing in us, which of course is the fruit of God, not the fruit of the human. But it kind of does it in reverse order. It says, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. Can we add anything to love? It's okay, you can go. No, because there's nothing else added to love, because love contained all of those things just mentioned. Does that make sense? A little bit. Love contains all of those things. If you get to the point that you've added all of those things together, there you have love in its fullness. So, with our little danger hat on here for a minute, thinking about being maybe brought up with Christians, or maybe even just brought up in a household where you were told, if you don't do X, Y, and Z, you're not going to be this. Mm-hmm. This list of fruit is not a to-do list for us. It is not a to-do list for us to get it right with God. But you've got that, haven't you? Those of you that have been here for 3 weeks should really have got this by now. Do you know whose to-do list it is? It's the Holy Spirit's to-do list. It's his to-do list in us and through us. The list reflects the nature of God, not the nature of man. There's a wee list later on that kind of reflects some of the nature of man in this passage. It isn't quite as encouraging. But this is the nature of God in us. So we don't want to get the origin of the journey muddled up by thinking that we do something, and we know that. However, before I go on to our to-do list, let me just set the promises of the context, of what we find in the context. We find this. Holy Spirit fills us. Yeah, we are all in agreement. Just give me a little nod, you'd be like, yes, mm-hmm. I believe yes. This. It's all over the New Testament. Holy Spirit fills us. All we have to do is believe and begin to love. Really, that's it. That's all we have to do. And then this really cool thing we see in this chapter. It says that Holy Spirit leads us. And the word for lead there is to take us towards a destination. Now, it's not like God stands at a destination and says, come on, you can do it, try harder, keep moving, I'm here, I'm waiting for you. The very word used for led or leads is to accompany somebody to a destination. And it has beautiful descriptive words. It says to guide, to influence, to give opportunities, to keep them going, basically. And is that anyone else's experience of a relationship with God? It certainly is mine. He just is keeping me going. Joyful moments, really terrible moments, keeping me going. He's with us in it all, his nature expressing itself through us as we walk. Now here's our to-do list in the chapter. You ready for your to-do list? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, at the front of any to-do list God will ever give you will be the first commandment, number one, to love the Lord. I don't even need to see this in this passage. It's our first commandment. It's our first thing that we do. It's we love God. In order to love God, you kind of have to believe in him. So that's the two in one right there. And so we love the Lord our God. But we also see in verse 16 that we are to walk. So here's our second point on our to-do list. We are to walk. And it means to make progress, and it means to use the opportunities. So here we've got our picture. Holy Spirit's with us, accompanying us. He's giving us opportunities to keep moving forward, and we are taking those opportunities, and we are going forward. We are to be led by him, verse 18. That means that you actually have to allow him to take the lead. It's a little bit of a tricky one, particularly if you are gifted like I am and making things happen all by yourself. But essentially, we have to often just lay it down a bit and allow God to lead us. We might not understand what's going on. It might even be terribly hard. But we still have to allow him to lead us forward. And then it says in verse 25 that we are to live. And that word means that we are to enjoy real life, real, gutsy, true life. But it also says that we are to be blessed. So this word live means to be blessed. Now, I'm pretty sure that quite a few of us in this room have learned how to bless others. In fact, I'm pretty sure we've got to the point where we really enjoy it. God says, could you give money to this person, or could you do this for this person? We go, because it's great. How many of us are really good at receiving blessing?
Yeah.
Receiving, well, let me let you into a little secret about that's very clear in the Bible. Jesus himself taught me. If you can't receive blessing, you're going to run out of being able to bless other people. There is a receiving and a giving and a giving and a receiving and a receiving and a giving and a giving and a receiving. So this is part of living, is to allow yourself to be blessed by God. And lastly, verse 25, we see on our to-do list, we are to keep in step, and that means that has a rhythm to it. So we've got a picture going on here, haven't we? We're moving forward with God, he's given us opportunities. But as we take those opportunities, we kind of keep in step. It has a rhythm of a march of a soldier. That's our to-do list. Love God, walk, allow yourself to be led, live. Allow yourself to be blessed and enjoy real life and keep in step. God creates the momentum. We just learn to follow. We learn to walk. So, patience is not something we do in order to prove that we are filled, but it is something we become that testifies to him living in us. Paul saw this in his first letter to Timothy. You want to flick here right now? There's one thing about flipping up the Bible, it just keeps you awake, you know? So feel free, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. And he says, for this very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example. Through me, God displayed his patience. So there's no point in me going through wee stories tonight about all the times I have or haven't been patient. And in fact, when Mel said, oh, I'm giving you the week on patience, I was like, seriously, could you not give me the week on joy? Because I could do that. But looking at this, I've realized that I've narrowed my understanding of patience. I've made it like it's circumstances, like it's waiting for things. And immediately dismissed myself as the most impatient person in the world. But it's not. It's not. That's not what this word means, actually. And so hopefully, by looking at it just now, you will all be encouraged that you are more patient than you think you are. In which everyone goes, oh, I hope so. Absolutely. This is not human patience. There's no point in me telling the stories of human patience. We really want to look at God's patience. But let's look at our word. The word for patience, sometimes translated forbearance, is a word that has a really full meaning to it. It has loads in it. And I've come to realize that the reason for that is that it is a word that sums up God's patience. And when you look back at other descriptions in the Bible of God's patience, you see all these different elements. And it's like this word brings it together. And our word means endurance, steadfastness, perseverance, setting your face to something. It means forbearance, which means refraining from exercising a legal right. Has anyone ever felt the right to be legally annoyed? or even actually had the right to legally take action and felt God asked them not to. That's what forbearance means. I know. It also means long suffering, and it means slowness in avenging. Every time this word shows up, you see relational context. This is actually about a person to a person. This is about the patience and long suffering that we need in relationship. There's lots of other places in the Bible where you'll see circumstantial patience. That's a different word. This word actually always seems to be about people. Let me give you a couple of examples. Galatians 3, chapter 3, verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy, dearly loved, clothe yourself. That means put on your clothes. You've got clothing, and this is what your clothing is. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Ringing any bells? Here we have another list. Bear with one another. Forgive each other if you've got grievance against anyone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all of these virtues, put on love. And then just to confirm it all, which binds them all together. All of our list is found in love. So there's another sort of confirmation. And then it says, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Ephesians 4 says a very similar thing about walking with each other, bearing with each other, and endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit because of peace. It's about relationship. It's about you and I, the patience that we need for each other in this particular fruit. When we look back at these descriptions of God's patience, because that's what we're talking about. Remember, we're not talking about the patience that we can conjure up. We're not like, in this moment, I've got to be patient with David even though he's driving me mad and I've just discovered he used to be a Tory. It's okay. I can have patience for him and everything will be fine. No, it's not like that. When I listened to his sermon and he told a story about once being a Tory, I thought, bless.
Yeah.
Thank the Lord for forgiveness. That's what I'm talking about. And there I looked back and saw. So remember, this is God's patience. That we look back, we're looking for evidence of this. It's not that we're trying to do something so that we can tick the box of patience on our fruit list. Okay? You got that, haven't you? We look back and we're encouraged. In the Bible, people, men and women, experience God's patience and they described it like this. He's slow to anger. And that word again actually means that God could rightfully have been, legally have been angry, but he chose to hold himself back with his mercy and grace and see what happened. There's another, and it's David and Joel and Jonah and Nahum. They all described him like that. And there's another word that means both slow to anger and then it has this passionate, flared, nostrils, setting face to kind of stance. And you can see God going, I will not, I will not, I will not. I will hold, I will just allow my mercy and my grace to have its work. I will give them another chance, I will give them another chance, you know. This long suffering. That God is long suffering, merciful and gracious and abundant in goodness and truth. And that's in Exodus 34. And there's a couple of others that confirm that, Numbers 14 and Jeremiah 15. And again, in the New Testament, we see this description of tolerating or forbearance, which means refraining from using a legal right. Now, is that to say that we never use our legal right? Of course not. There are times for us to take action for justice. But there are times that we will feel to hold back. And we had a circumstance like this where my husband, Andrew, went for some treatment on his lower back. And while he was in there getting his treatment on lower back, she said, well, I'll give your neck an adjustment. And there's nothing wrong with his neck, never had been. And he, you know, it was his decision. He's got free will and he knew there were risks, I suppose, but minor ones. But he said, sure, okay, and she adjusted his neck. And it led to him actually being off work for 6 months and on medication for quite some time because of terrible pain in his neck. Do you remember how anxious he used to get? And just, oh, and having experienced pain like that, I know what that's like. It messes with your emotions. And it was really hard. And I remember in it several people saying, you could sue. You could sue that practice. But the bottom line was that the lady who had given him the treatment was a neighbor. She was a single mum. And he just said, well, what would be the point of me destroying her livelihood so that I could what? Feel like I got justice? That's the fruit of God, work of love,
Amen.
Working through that man. And he went on to have good conversations with her when we meet on the street, you know, just demonstrating. And she knew we were Christians. So it's not always right, but sometimes it is, and that's okay. I don't know if you've noticed this, but suffering seems to be, the long suffering seems to be kind of wrapped up in this concept of patience. And maybe that's because of the classic James, you know, the trying of your faith works patience in you. But then he says this really interesting thing in James 1, verse 3, 4. He says, but let patience, let the trial have its perfect work. Let it be completed. He says, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be complete and perfect, wanting nothing. And I had this little image. It's something that I've said before, is be careful, and maybe because I've done quite a lot of prayer ministry and training and stuff, is be careful that we don't pray away the very suffering, the very trial that God is using for good in that person. This is where we really need to hear from God what is the right thing to pray in this moment. Because it can't always be default that it's got all your problems sorted.
Amen.
Sometimes we are going through suffering. It's not God who puts us in our suffering. We're extremely good at doing that all by ourselves. And if we didn't do it all by ourselves, the chances are that some generation, however far back, made a really stupid decision and we are living with the consequences.
Yep.
I don't believe that God causes the suffering. I believe that humans are extremely good at doing it. Yeah. But I do believe that he knows what's happening, he sees it happen, and he goes, right, we're going to work some magic in here. We're going to get some fruit growing. We're going to make some amazing stuff happen. I'm going to answer that prayer that she prayed for that, and that prayer that he prayed for this. Because he will not take a bad circumstance and let it become worse. He does use it for good. So, let it finish its work. If you're going through a really difficult time, whether it's circumstantial or relational, the question is not, oh God, why are you letting this happen? But Lord, what are you going to do through this? And what is the timing of it? And my prayer when I was going through a long thing that required an awful lot of patience was, God, don't take away from me the opportunity for you to do good stuff in me. If you're doing good stuff and it's actually working, then I'm willing to let you continue your work, even if it means I suffer a little bit longer. However, my circumstance was circumstantial patience. But the people who were living with me while I was in pain, they can look back and they can say the love of God was working through me. Because they were incredibly patient with me when I was grumpy, fed up, and snarky, and drinking wine in the corners. Because suffering's hard, right? And I want to finish probably by saying, I hope you're a bit encouraged, because you should be able to look back and see now circumstances where you've been more patient with somebody than you probably would have been a year or so ago. And if you're like, do you know what, I just don't see that, I think I'm just not getting any better at this, I'm still the same, then don't go to the to-do list of the fruits, go to your to-do list of loving God, just learning to love him. Learning to walk with him and allowing yourself to be led. And in that to-do list, the fruit will shine, will come through you. But suffering is not something we should do alone. It's something that needs processed. Communities rejoice together, but they also suffer together. And so I'd really encourage you, if you would like, if you think, I need a bit of revelation, I need a bit of God information on this circumstance, then come forward and we will pray with you and see if we can get some of that information that will help you. And do that tonight. And maybe as I finish just now, I will pray for you in case you haven't got the guts to come up the front. That sounds really bad. I don't mean it like that. You know what I mean. Coming up the front isn't your thing. And let me pray for you as we finish. God, I'm overwhelmed by the freedom that you offer us. And I'm overwhelmed again tonight how you literally dug down into the grave I was digging for myself. And you pulled me out and you pulled me into a place where I was free to be me. But that you would also start to shine through me and change me. And like David said last week, that I would start to see differently. And you did that for me, and I know you're doing it for each one of us. And I pray for encouragement to come on now from within us. The Spirit living within us would encourage us and bring back to mind the times that we are really growing in these fruits, but not because we're trying to, but because of who you are and how good you are and how, well, wow, how good you are. And I pray this week that moments of encouragement and memories would come back and just continually encourage us forward as people. And I pray for the freedom that this church, this group of people, this family, who is such a blessing to visit, that this family would get their teeth into freedom, the freedom that you offer, in a way that they haven't seen it before. And the conversations would start to change and would stop talking less, would talk less about what we aren't doing and more about what God is doing.
Amen.
And in that, our faith would be built up. We love you and we thank you for what you're doing in us. And we know that when we have the love of God and everything that that means shining through us, that is our happy place. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.